You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Hello and welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 10th of September 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioaryan.com. Well, I was hoping Max Musson would be able to join us today, but he's having some software issues at the moment. We tried to get them fixed. About half an hour later, he's still working on them. So I'm afraid you're just going to have to put up with me today. I have got I've got some interesting news stories for us, and of course they concern Britain. I know most of you will probably be interested in what's happening in Sweden with the Sweden elections, and we do actually have somebody from Sweden who's going to be talking to us on the Daily Nationalist, which if you listen to the live stream you will have already heard today. But I have got some British news here that I want to talk about. Now, over the weekend I happened to be watching the BBC News channel, and they had a documentary on. It's quite a moving documentary, and it was basically about all these white victims of surgery attacks, because that's what they were. I mean, this couldn't have been incompetence. This had to have been deliberately done. There were over 100 victims. Every single one of them was white that they showed on the television, and the surgeon was non-white, of course. They tried to portray him as being white. They lightened up the picture of him so that he looked like he could have been white. They just said his surname all the time, El Jamel, when actually his name was Muftar Salim El Jamel. And then right at the very end of the documentary, there was a relative of his that obviously had an Indian accent. And some of what this surgeon has got away with is absolutely horrific. It's sort of removing the wrong spinal disc, or not removing a spinal disc at all. There's somebody who had a disc in their spine that was abutting the spinal cord, obviously needed removing, and this surgeon had opened them up, gone in, not removed the disc, gone back out again, sewed him up, said, well, I've removed the disc, left the guy in absolute chronic pain, and because of the scar tissue where the surgeon had gone in, it means that nobody else could actually go in there and remove this spinal disc. There were also instances of him, well, quite a few instances of him actually opening people up and then not performing the operation and then saying everything has gone fine and I've removed what needed removing. And then a few months later, he would go back and say, oh, actually, there was a mistake made and I need to go in again and do another operation. And one poor woman who I really did feel sorry for, he removed her tear duct instead of a brain tumour. He removed her tear duct so that her eyes won't water anymore. Of course, you know, you need your eyes to water to protect them from dust, let alone emotion. I just imagine what it's like to have no tear ducts. So this poor woman thought that she'd been healed of a brain tumour by this surgeon, and he'd actually removed her tear duct. And he was also under investigation at the time, and nobody's actually been able to take him to court. The medical council that deal with this, they've said, well, we're in the business of protecting patients. We're not in the business of prosecuting doctors, because, of course, all these victims, they want some kind of compensation, and they want to know why he did this. This is the question that they were all asking. Why did he do this? Was it just simple incompetence? If it's just simple incompetence, how did he get to the position that he's in? He was also under investigation at the time when he carried out a lot of these injuries, this surgery that just left people in agony. So some of these poor people, they're going to be in pain for the rest of their lives, thanks to this guy. And apparently he's still on the medical register in America, and they're not able to take him to court. It's just absolutely horrific that this could be going on in Britain. And when they were asking these questions, and they were asking just how could this happen, I was thinking, just so angry that it could be allowed to happen. If we didn't employ non-white surgeons, it wouldn't have happened. These people would not have been injured in the ways that they are. People will probably say that that's racist, but the facts are, as we'll get to in a bit, the facts are that non-white surgeons are up to 13 times more likely to mess up the operation. 13 times more likely to mess up the operation. But there's not just this Mufta El Jamel that's been doing this. There's also been another case recently in the news. This was the case of a Dr. Hadija Bawagaba. And she was stripped of her medical license following the death of a 6-year-old boy with Down syndrome. But they've now given her medical license back. This woman is a Somalian. She has an average IQ of, 65, 70? That's the average Somali IQ. She has a bag over her head. She's already killed a young white boy. And she's now been put back on the medical register, allowed to practice again, because the white doctors around her thought that it wasn't fair that she wasn't allowed to practice. And yeah, you can just make a safe bet that she is going to, there's going to be more incompetence that surrounds her. And you just listen to what happened to her. The junior pediatrician was convicted of manslaughter by gross negligence and given a 2-year suspended sentence for mistakes, which led to Jack Adcock's needless death in 2011. So she was convicted of manslaughter by gross negligence, and an appeals court has given her medical license back. The mother of the young boy is absolutely furious. Mistakes that Bawagaba made included failing to ask a consultant to review Jack's condition during the afternoon handover meeting. So when the shift ended and another consultant came in, he didn't even know that this Jack was there. He didn't even review the condition, didn't even know anything about it. And she confused him with another patient, causing her to briefly put a stop to CPR, although this was not deemed to have contributed to his death. So she was even mixing patients up. She also failed to specify that the enalapril medicine that Jack took for his heart condition should have been discontinued, and his mother was still giving him his evening dose at 7 p.m. in the evening. So either he was given a double dose of it, where the mother hadn't been told that the hospital was going to be giving him the dose, or the mother hadn't been told that the dose needed to be stopped, and that was actually adding to the condition. At 8 p.m. Jack crashed and Bawagaba responded, and then at 9:20 p.m. Jack died of a cardiac arrest as a result of sepsis. And then, as I say, she was struck off, but now she has appealed and she's allowed to practice again. And this is just going to happen again. The woman is not very good at speaking English. She's not white. She has an average IQ of 70, and she's already killed one young white boy, and she's still allowed to operate on people in Britain. And how much of this is there that's going on? Well, I looked up a report on this, and this is actually a report from 2017. It's probably a lot worse now. Foreign doctors are much more likely to be investigated for incompetence than their British-trained counterparts, according to new research. A study found medics who qualified in Bangladesh in particular were a staggering 13 times more likely to be investigated for poor practice. And you think about reframing that means they are 13 times more likely to make serious mistakes. And you're talking people that are surgeons here, people doing important medical procedures, and they are 13 times more likely to make a mistake. And don't forget, people are very, very unlikely to make complaints about doctors or make complaints about the health service. We all know they're under a lot of pressure. We don't want to appear petty. We don't want to make life any harder for these doctors. And white people aren't racist. We don't have racist bones in our bodies. This is the problem. White people will make exceptions for the fact that the doctor isn't white. They will make exceptions and say, well, he might make mistakes because he isn't white. And of course, it's not fair of us to complain about that, because that makes us racist. That's the way that people think. So they're much less likely to actually put in complaints about these non-white doctors. They're only going to put in a complaint if there's been some serious damage that's actually been done. And yet Bangladeshis are still 13 times more likely to be investigated for that. 13 times more likely to make serious mistakes in operations. I mean, you're talking leaving people paralyzed, leaving people with tear ducts missing, like this Indian doctor that we began with. Serious damage is being done to the British people by these non-white doctors, and nobody is putting two and two together and saying, this is the reason why this is happening. It's because they're non-white. We have to look at them as a group. I mean, when you look at them as a group, you see, I mean, the evidence is there, 13 times more likely. Okay, this report is saying to be investigated for poor practice, but they're not going to be investigated unless there's been some severe damage has been done by them. Research has concluded that a lack of a grasp of the language means that some foreign-born doctors are unable to communicate fluently with patients in English, which in turn negatively impacts their medical ability. Now, I've been to see doctors, because in Britain, as most of our listeners know, you don't get a choice of what doctor you go to see. You are told you have to see this doctor because it's all provided on the NHS, so you don't get a choice. So I've had to see non-white doctors before in the past, and I haven't been able to understand a word of what they're saying. I've had to ask them to repeat things. I've had them tell me flat out that it's not what I think it is, and it's turned out to actually be what I thought it was. And this is just my experience. So I know other people are having this same experience, especially with not being able to understand what these doctors are actually saying. And in turn, they're not able to understand what we are saying to them. Well, they're all called Mo, so you can't even remember the actual name of the doctor that you saw if you did want to put a complaint in, because you would just say, oh, well, it was Dr. Mo. And how many Dr. Mo's do they have in the hospital? They're all called Mo. Even if they're not actually called Muhammad, they're likely to tell you that their name is Dr. Mo. The study's authors from University College London also found Egyptian and Nigerian-born GPs faced an eightfold higher risk, eight times more likely to cause severe life-threatening damage, is basically what that means. In fact, overall, doctors from every country, apart from South Africa, were more likely to face an incompetence investigation than their British counterparts. Could that be because South Africa has white doctors in it? Could that be the reason why South Africa isn't more likely to make these horrific cock-ups? In addition to the language barrier, the study found poor training in countries with lower standards and cultural barriers could also be to blame, the study found. But what about IQ? What about simple IQ? When you've got an average IQ of 85 in Africa, and don't forget, the guy that actually did the research that Jared Taylor uses for these average IQs in Africa, he took the IQ at the universities there. He went to the universities that had the most intelligent people at these universities and tested their IQ and found that they were 15, 20 points lower than the IQs would be among white people. So on top of this not understanding the language, on top of the cultural barriers that could also be to blame, you've just got the simple fact that they don't have the intelligence, and they are causing serious damage to white people. You are 13 times more likely to come away from an operation severely injured if the medic is a Bangladeshi. And just think how many Indians there are in the National Health Service. There's probably more Indians than there are anything else. And there are a high IQ Indians. So they are a rarity, but you do get high IQ Indians and you get a lot of Indian doctors, but they are 13 times more likely to do things like cut out tear ducts instead of brain tumours. With one in three GPs practising in the UK now from a foreign country, mostly from elsewhere in Europe, study author Dr. Henry Potts warned that they could say with confidence that foreign doctors are more likely to be investigated. And even with European doctors, the chances are that they aren't going to be, they may not be understood. Now, I've had European doctors that have come from, say, Germany, Austria, places like that, even Eastern Europe. And I have actually been able to understand what they're saying, so I can't really make a complaint there just by going by my own experience. But the non-whites, you just can't understand them at all. He said, if a poor doctor makes a mistake, it could have life-changing consequences for patients. So we do need to make sure that that is not happening and that all doctors are competent. But one way to make certain that all doctors are competent would be just to make sure that you had no non-white doctors, surely. If white British doctors have the least amount of complaints put in, investigated complaints, and the non-whites have 13 times that amount, then surely the way to ensure that doctors are competent is just stop employing these non-white doctors. And they keep telling us that the NHS wouldn't function if we didn't have foreigners in it. But it looks to me as if the foreigners are actually responsible for all the mistakes that are made. 13 times more likely. He added, there is a possibility about the sort of training people are getting in different countries. And of course, they're going to have lower standards in places like India, places like Nigeria. Would you really want to be opened up by a surgeon that was trained in Nigeria? Another angle is, where are these people going wrong? Is it raw medical competence? Or is it language? Or is it about understanding the culture? Well, I think that, and I'll probably get a lot of stick for this, I think these non-whites, that's the reason why they're here. They are our enemy. They are here to encourage us to interbreed with them. They're here to attack us. And they do that because we're supposed to be living separately from them. And the more we say we are all the same, we love refugees, we want non-whites here, the worse things are going to get. And it runs all the way from terrorism to grooming gangs to poisoning the food that they put in the restaurants and to deliberately attacking people that are on the operating table. That first guy that I was mentioning, 100 different victims, he had to have been doing that deliberately. Even if they aren't doing it deliberately and they do it subconsciously, that's just the universe's way of saying you should not be living with these people. You need to be kept separate from them. You know, the whole of nature is about keeping the different species separate and them not interbreeding with one another. It's like two magnets with opposite poles. They're going to reject one another. And the more you try to push them together, the more they try to pull each other apart. The more we are told we need to be mixing with these people, the more instances there are going to be of things like this happening in order to push us apart. And I look at this from the Christian identity angle as well. I look at these people as they're the works of the devil. So of course they're going to be making all these mistakes in the hospitals. Of course they're going to be trying to groom our girls and rape them. Of course they're going to be calling us racist. That's the reason for them being here. But maybe that's a little bit extreme for most of our listeners, I expect. But it doesn't take away from the reality of the fact that this is what's going on. And the traitors that are in government are encouraging more non-whites to come over here and be a part of the NHS, knowing that they are the ones that are causing all the injuries. Almost 6,000 foreign doctors were hired in the UK last year, despite the ongoing concerns of language barriers. But last year, foreign-trained medics made up 72% of those who were struck off. 72% of all the people that were actually struck off. And if we bear in mind that Somali woman who killed a boy, she was struck off, but she was let back in again. She was allowed to practice again so she could continue harming white people. Don't forget all the victims in that BBC documentary of the Indian doctor. They were all white. There has been a growing number of cases of incompetence involving foreign doctors employed in the UK in recent years, including a Nigerian doctor struck off for killing a pensioner with a painkiller overdose. And that was so simple. He gave this pensioner 10 times the amount he should have done for diamorphine, for heroin. I mean, somebody who is not even a doctor would know that if you give them 10 times the amount of heroin they're supposed to have, it's going to kill them. And yet this Nigerian doctor thought what he was doing is absolutely fine. And he was struck off in Britain, and yet he was still allowed to practice in Germany. He came out, he was a Nigerian doctor that had been given German citizenship. He came over to Britain. He was struck off in Britain, and he's still practicing over in Germany. The relatives of the white pensioner who he killed went over there, and they invaded a conference that he was giving, calling him a murderer, and saying this guy has killed a pensioner with his incompetence in Britain. Of course, they were accused of being racist by this Nigerian killer that did this. There's also been a Pakistani trained medic struck off after being found to be running an unregistered mobile circumcision service, probably female circumcision. I noticed there was a news report out this weekend in Sri Lanka, and there's an Islamic group that are saying that FGM, female genital mutilation, needs to be provided by the medical service over there, by the NHS over there. And they're saying in Indonesia, it's already being carried out by the doctors, and it needs to be carried out by the doctors in Sri Lanka. And the reason why female genital mutilation needs to be carried out by these doctors is because it is an obligatory part of Islam. And of course, we're all told that it's not an obligatory part of Islam, and it's just that these women decide to mutilate their daughters' vaginas. But according to these female Muslims in Sri Lanka, yes, it is a part of Islam. Don't forget, there's never been any prosecutions for it in Britain, even though there are thousands of black girls that have had this done to them. And they've had it done in Britain. They don't just go abroad. They've had it done in Britain. What the hell are we doing importing this into our country? It's not that we should be prosecuting these people for doing it. It's that they shouldn't be here. It shouldn't be any of our business what they're doing to themselves. We should just send them all back to where they come from. There is nothing positive that will ever come from importing non-whites into your country. Things just get worse and worse. And what we can see here is they're saying, well, some of these highly educated non-whites, we can make use of them as doctors. But it's not working out, is it? If they're 13 times more likely to leave somebody paralyzed or cut out the wrong bits of their body, it's not worth it, is it, surely? But nobody is putting this together. This is why I felt so sorry for these white victims that were saying, why did this doctor do this? Why did this doctor do this? And none of them seem to be working out, well, he's non-white. That's why he did this, because they're far more likely to do it if they're non-white. They quite clearly hadn't even thought of that. Or if they had, they probably wouldn't allow them to say so on the BBC, obviously. The revelations of foreign doctor incompetence come after it was also revealed that British medical students are missing out on places due to foreign medics being brought in to fill the roles in the UK. So how about that then? We could quite easily have enough British doctors carrying out these operations and not making these mistakes. But instead of actually giving those places to the British students, they're importing foreigners to do it instead. Reliant on foreign-born medics, the NHS has actively targeted them to help plug a staffing shortage that has left us in crisis. But this may largely be because hundreds of straight-A British students are being denied the chance to train as doctors. Top-performing teenagers are being shunned by leading universities, while the NHS continues its drive to recruit thousands of foreign doctors. Traitors, absolute traitors to the British people, to know what these foreign doctors are doing and to continue trying to recruit them when you know that they're going to be making all these awful quote-unquote mistakes is treason, surely. This poor woman with her tear ducts that have been removed, and these are the people she needs to be blaming for this. These traitors that have brought these foreign doctors in and allowed them to operate on white people, knowing full well that they're 13 times more likely to do things like cut out the tear duct instead of the tumour. Well, let's move on to a bit more news here. And this actually didn't take place in Britain, but it was pretty predictable. And this is this Negress tennis player, Serena Williams. Everybody must be aware of her. She's god-awful ugly. She just looks like a gorilla in a dress. Well, she's predictably chimped out at the umpire. It's quite funny to watch. She throws her racket to the ground, smashes the racket, starts shouting at the umpire. The umpire said she was cheating, basically. And then she just starts screeching about how she's standing up for women. She can't be a thief because she's got a daughter. And it just really clear of the low IQ that these Negroes have. And when they get angry, they just throw out the same pointers because they don't really understand. They just know I'm angry, I'm emotional. And what do you do when you're angry and emotional? Well, you accuse whoever it is of being sexist. Or you say, I've got a child, don't you know? I can't be a thief because I've got a child. It just shows you that this woman really doesn't have a lot of logic there. And she doesn't really have a lot of control over her emotions either, smashing this racket to pieces. And the umpire actually marked her down for that. He was lucky she didn't push his chair over, to be honest. And that's the way these creatures are likely to behave when they get upset. But it was just funny to see. And she was actually beaten by this Chinese girl. What they're doing on our tennis courts, I don't know. White people should be playing tennis against white people. At least then it's fair and even. You can't say that it's fair and even to put different races up against one another, and not just at sport, even in intellectual pursuits as well. It's unfair to put Negroes there against whites in chess because, of course, they're going to lose. And they're probably going to blame racism for this as well. I'm surprised she didn't call the umpire racist. She called him sexist and said, oh, you wouldn't be doing this if it was a man that had called you a thief. And just totally illogical. The only arguments they have are racist, sexist, homophobe. And they don't really understand the meaning of these things. Negroes just understand that if they get upset by a white man, then that's the way they should be responding. They should be accusing them of racism, sexism, homophobia, and all the rest of it. Because they don't really understand what the words mean. And you can see that when they try to get them to explain what the words mean. And when you say, well, but isn't it racist then to be saying that only blacks can apply for this job and whites can't apply for this job? And then they'll say, oh, well, no, that's not racist. Because they don't understand what it really means. To them, it just means anything that the white man does that they don't like, it must be racist. That's what must be at the centre of it. That's what must be the cause of it. Anyway, we've reached halfway through the podcast now, so it's time for a bit of break, a bit of music. And what I've got for us today, I'm not sure who the band are. It's actually from a compilation album called Reconquista Germanica. And the Reconquista Germanica was the movement in Germany that managed to get the Alternative Deutschland Party elected. A big online movement. Well, there's this compilation album that's been put out, and it's just called that, and it has that their symbol on there. But it's full of all these traditional, mainly German songs, but they've also got American songs in there as well, Dixieland, Rebel songs. And this one is by them, and it doesn't actually say who the musicians are, but I think it's great. It's a really good album. I do recommend people check it out if they want to listen to some trad music. But this is their version of Bella Ciao, and I'll be back when it finishes.
Eines Morgens in aller Frühe, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao, Ciao, Ciao. Eines Morgens in aller Frühe trafen wir auf unseren Feind. Eines Morgens in aller Frühe trafen wir auf unseren Feind.
Una mattina mi sono alzato, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Una mattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invasor. Una mattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invasor.
Und wenn ich sterbe, o ihr Genossen, Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Wenn ich sterbe, o ihr Genossen, bringt mich dann zur letzten Ruhe. Wenn ich sterbe, o ihr Genossen, bringt mich dann zur letzten Ruhe.
E se io muoio da partigiano, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. E se io muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire. E se io muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire.
In den Schatten der kleinen Blumen, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. In den Schatten der kleinen Blumen, in die Berge bringt mich dann. In den Schatten der kleinen Blume, in die Berge bringt mich dann.
E tutti quelli che passeranno, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. E tutti quelli che passeranno mi diranno che bel fior. E tutti quelli che passeranno mi diranno che bel fior.
Und diese Blume sagen alle, bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Ist die Blume des Partisanen, der für unsere Freiheit starrt.
Questo è il fiore del partigiano, morto per la libertà.
Okay, that was a classic tune, Bella Ciao, reimagined by Reconquista Germanica. And now we'll get back to our British news. And this next story is really, really horrific. I mean, these people are, the words just escape me for just how evil and wicked they are. And I'm not talking about violence here. This is psychological violence that is going on here. Delusional child abusers try to confuse boy about his gender. Britain's first gender-fluid family, and you'll hear what that means as we go along, are preparing for total transformation, as both parents are set to have gender reassignment operations. Both of them are going to have sex changes, and they already have a little boy who hasn't been taken from them and put into care, but is just being allowed to be abused by this pair, because that's what they're doing. They're abusing him. Louise and Nikki Draven, who are parents to five-year-old Star Cloud, are planning to undergo the surgery and be in their ideal bodies by the time their son is 10. Biological father Louise, 32, who Star already calls Mummy, is to become a woman, and said the change has been a long time coming. Star's biological mother, Nikki, is set to undergo a female-to-male procedure and will be called Charlie. And what the hell do they think that is going to do to a young boy of 5 years old? No doubt they will be telling him what the operation... Well, they do. They're telling the boy what the operation consists of, which is likely to give him nightmares. Think of how confused he's going to be that his father is now his mother and his mother is now his father. I mean, this is psychological torture. But it gets worse. The couple from Middlesbrough, whose son is free to play with any toys he likes and paint his nails at home, said they worry like all parents do. They said if we waited until Star was older, he'd spend his childhood with parents who felt incomplete. So all they're really thinking about is themselves. They are just thinking about themselves because they would feel incomplete if he didn't chop his penis off, and if the woman didn't have a fake penis, they would feel incomplete. So that's what's most important. The parents having their lives feel complete. Sod the little boy. They don't give a damn about this little boy. All these selfish bastards care about is themselves. they leave him to play with his paint his nails at home. This is exactly how you create transgenders. This is exactly how it's done. One, usually a relative, will start dressing a little boy as a little girl. She will dress the little boy up as a little girl, paint the little boy's nails exactly as is going on here, and treat the little boy like a girl. And the little boy will like all the attention, and he will associate getting attention and feeling love and warmth and affection with dressing like a girl and being like a girl. And that's how these transgenders are created. And that's exactly what these monsters are doing to this child. And this is being promoted and praised in the media. Just a while back, they had the BBC. And the people who were doing this on the BBC, they should be locked up and they should throw away the key for doing this. They said, we're going to do gender experiments. And they basically got babies, toddlers of different sexes, and dressed them up as the opposite sex. They did exactly what is required to do in order to turn somebody into a transgender. And they put this across as this was great, because of course we need to be gender neutral. We need to get rid of all the gender barriers. They're just deliberately creating people who are going to be uncomfortable with the gender that they are by doing that. People that are going to have delusions, and that they're going to be encouraged in these delusions to mutilate themselves, and then they'll finally end up committing suicide when they realize that even though they've actually mutilated themselves, they're still not the gender that they want to be. These suicides that we hear that happen with these transgenders, they happen to the post-operative transgenders, not the pre-op ones. They happen to the ones that have had the operation, who then decide, actually, I was wrong about that. And then they try to go back to how they were. They can't go back to how they were. They end up making an absolute ass out of the operations. They end up with a complete mess where their privates should be, and they end up killing themselves. And they're deliberately doing this to children, and it's being praised as being gender neutral, as bringing people up gender neutral. That's what it's called now. Child abuse is what it is. Star is being raised as gender neutral, with his parents focusing on raising a person, not a boy. He is said to have a 5-year-old's understanding of the family's situation. The little boy can play with dolls and paint his nails at home. Well, why would he even want to be playing with dolls and painting his nails at home if he hadn't been encouraged to by these devils? That's what they are. They're devils. They're abusing this boy and trying to turn him into a transgender. He even cut his long hair in January. But stay-at-home mum, Louise, said he's in two minds now about whether or not he wants it long again. However he wants it is fine by us. And they're proud of this. And that this is quite literal what they've done to him. He's in two minds. The little boy now has two minds. He's now unsure whether he is a girl or whether he's a boy. And the press thinks this is great. This is gender neutral. This is what all parents should be doing. Although describing Star as well-adjusted, Charlie did say that he has started asking questions. I bet he has. Recently, he asked why I had to wear a swimsuit at the pool and not trunks like other daddies. I tell Star, Mummy is going to a special doctor who will take away her ducky, which is Star's word for a penis. So he's still calling his dad, Dad, and they're trying to tell this little boy that he's now actually their mummy, and he's going to have his penis chopped off by a doctor, which is going to give this poor lad absolute nightmares. He's either going to get nightmares from it, or he's going to think that that's what he should be doing as well. He's going to think when he's an adult, it's going to be chopped off. That's what this little boy is going to think. He's going to think that when he becomes an adult, this is what has to happen to him. And he's either going to be absolutely horrified by that, or he's going to think that's what should go on. That's what goes on with people as they get older. And he's going to be very likely to actually do the same thing, especially if he's been conditioned to think that he's a girl, painting his nails, playing with dolls. I mean, this is exactly what you should be, anyone with children should be preventing them from doing. Prevent them from doing this. Don't let anybody dress your little boy up as a little girl. Doesn't matter who they are, how close they are in a family. Don't ever let them do that. The Dravens married in a pagan ceremony in 2012 are believed to be Britain's first entirely gender fluid family. And this is something that I've said for a while. I mean, pagans will attack Christians and say that Christians are cucked, but pagans are just as cucked. You know, the mainstream pagans are all into all of this. They're all into experiencing as much as they can. And you take that to the extremes and it means, well, what's it like to be a different sex then? We've done everything else. We've taken all the other drugs. We've had all the other perverse sex. What is there left to do? I know. Let's change gender. And that's where paganism ends up. And this is why this couple is a pagan couple, because it fits in perfectly with mainstream pagan ideology. The pro-white pagans are just a very small part of paganism that is ostracized by the rest of it. The same as Christian identity is a very small part of Christianity that most people don't know about. And most Judeo-Christians would be horrified to hear about our Christian identity beliefs. You know, the corruption of white society is in everything. You can't say Christianity, oh, we just have to throw that away. The logic, well, you just have to throw away your pagan ideas as well, because 99% of paganism is also pro-multiculturalism and pro-degeneracy. And at least the church is still not pro-degeneracy. Okay, they're being told they have to cut back on their promotion of anti-homosexuality promotion. But at least they're not, you wouldn't find two transsexuals in a church getting married in a church, as these two transsexuals have been able to get married in a pagan ceremony. And these transsexuals will be held up as heroes by the pagans. And they certainly wouldn't be by the Judeo-Christians, even though the Judeo-Christians are extremely compromised, as we know. Neither of us gets hung up on the gender we were born as, Louise 30 said. We don't want our child constrained by that either. We're just an ordinary family being who we want to be. Well, you're not constrained by your gender, are you? You're not constrained by your body any more than pigs are constrained by the fact that they can't fly. They're not birds. They are what they are. They should be teaching their child to be happy with what he is, not trying to encourage him to experience what it's like to be something that he isn't, so that he forms an attachment to being something that he isn't, so he ends up as confused as they are, and wanting to mutilate his body and thinking that he's never actually going to be able to feel happiness unless he's something that he isn't. These guys just don't appear to have any logic, and they're just so selfish to think that they should just be able to do this regardless of actually having a little boy there, because it will make them feel complete. I mean, you do hear about these transsexuals, and most of them wait until their children have grown up before they start doing anything like this, before they even come out to their wife as being a transsexual. They wait until the children have grown up. These selfish sods are just doing it right in front of him and deliberately trying to turn this boy into a transgender as well. Last year, the Dravens spoke about their experiences and struggles with other children imposing their views on him. It's not other children imposing their views on him. It's these transsexual parents imposing their views on everybody else. What they're doing is not natural. It's completely unnatural. They said Star is only in nursery, but has already been put under pressure by other children. He came home the other day saying, "I can't play with dolls. They're for girls." And instead of encouraging that, which is what should be encouraged, they sat him down and explained that anyone can play with dolls and it's good practice for when he grows up and is a daddy. So they're telling him that when you're an adult, you should play with girls. You play with dolls, rather, when you're an adult. He should be playing with dolls. When he grows up and is a daddy, he should have a secret life when he plays with dolls and dresses up in a skirt. And this little boy's reply, was, I might not be a daddy. I might be a mummy. So the damage has already been done by these creatures. They've already confused him. When they say he's in two minds now about whether he wants his hair long again or not, what they really mean is he is now in two minds. He doesn't know if he's going to be a daddy or if he's going to be a mummy when he grows up. They've completely brainwashed this kid into thinking that you can just choose to be whatever gender you want to be, which is, of course, a total lie, because your gender goes right throughout every cell of your body with the chromosomes that you have. You can't change from having XY chromosomes into having XX chromosomes, which is the difference between men and women. It's not just the amount of hormones you've got or what you've got between your legs. It's every single part of your being is either male or female. And these transsexuals that mutilate themselves, that's what they finally have to come to terms with. And that's when they realize that actually, no, they're not a woman. They can't be a woman. And then they realize what they've done and they kill themselves. And this is being encouraged on this little boy. Instead of investigating why it is people turn into transsexuals and doing all that we possibly can to prevent that from happening, they are encouraging it. It's the same with homosexuality. Instead of investigating the reasons why people become homosexual and doing all we can to prevent that, because the reason why people become homosexual is because they are abused. 90% of homosexuals are homosexual because they were abused when they were little children. So instead of doing all we can to keep paedophiles away from children, what they've done is they've legalized homosexuality. And they've made it a right for pedophiles to adopt children. These pedophiles, or these kids that were abused, they're far more likely to turn into pedophiles. Homosexuals are 30 times more likely to be pedophiles. Because homosexuals do have to recruit, and again, you have to look at them as a group. Yes, there might be homosexuals that don't abuse children, but if none of them abuse children, they would die out. There would be no more homosexuals. That's the only way a homosexual can create another homosexual, or is to recruit one. And the only way to recruit one is to abuse a child. So instead of making homosexuality completely illegal, which would mean that there was far less chance of children being abused by them and cutting down on homosexuals, what they've done is they said, well, we'll legalize the results of child abuse. We'll legalize the results of it, which is homosexuality. That's the result of child abuse. And what they've done here, instead of making it illegal to tell little boys that they are little girls and encourage them to be little girls, they said, oh, well, we're going to promote this. This is absolutely fine. We can't say that transsexualism is wrong, so therefore we can't say that it's wrong, the things that turn people into transsexuals either. That's the logic here. And it's not just that they are not condemning the things that people do to turn people into transsexuals, they're actually promoting it. They're promoting it and saying that this is a wonderful thing. We should be raising children to be gender neutral. They're promoting it instead of doing all they can to stop it. It's absolutely sick. The family caused a stir after appearing on a number of TV shows last year. So they think this is great. They're being rewarded for this with celebrity status. The little boy is being rewarded and being told that he will get celebrity status if he changes his sex, and he'll get all this attention if he mutilates himself and dresses as the opposite gender. They're doing all they can to turn him into a transsexual. They appeared on a number of TV shows last year and have had to deal with cruel comments, nowhere near as cruel as what they're doing to this little boy. Charlie said, most people were pretty supportive, especially the people we met in person. Well, they have all been brainwashed, haven't they? They've absolutely been brainwashed to go against God and nature. Continuing, but some of the written comments were horrendous. One person wrote that we should kill StarCloud before he became a serial killer, committed suicide, or killed us? Well, it'd be very interesting to see whether any of that actually happens, won't it? If he does commit suicide, when he realises what's been done to him, or whether he kills them. This idea of him becoming a serial killer, I'm not sure whether there is a link between serial killers and transsexuals, but there certainly is between committing suicide or having extreme anger against the people that abused them. And then he finishes with, unbelievable how people could say such dreadful things about a four-year-old. But they're not comments about the four-year-old, are they? They are comments about the way these perverts are bringing him up. This gender-neutral nonsense is so wicked. It's so evil. And the way that it is being promoted by the establishment, it's being promoted in schools, that things have to be gender-neutral. It's all exactly what you need to do to turn somebody into a transsexual. Exactly what you need to do. I am really surprised that more people aren't coming out and saying this and taking these bastards to the court for doing it, promoting it in schools. The BBC promoting their experiments where they gender neutralize children by dressing them up in the opposite gender's clothes. So wicked. So evil. Well, I've got one other story to bring us today, to talk about today. And again, this is another fairly predictable one. Jews are working to replace white workers with Syrian refugees. What a surprise. A Jewish group working to bring Syrian refugees into Britain to replace the British people. The World Jewish Relief has received a European Union grant, no less, of more than £1 million to support resettled Syrian refugees in finding employment and integrating into British society. Isn't that nice of them? Isn't it nice of the Jews to help out with Syrian refugees finding employment and integration into British society? Isn't it nice of the European Union to fund these Jews doing this? Why aren't the European Union funding white British people to find employment? Why aren't the World Jewish Relief supporting Syrian refugees in Israel? Why are they doing it in Britain? Surely there must be some collusion there, you would think, between these Jews in the Jewish Relief and the Jews at the European Union, because this is subversion of another country, isn't it? Funding alien populations in another country, helping them to find employment instead of the actual natives in that country. The AMIF, the Asylum Migration and Integration Fund award, is for £1.13 million over 2 years. The London-based charity will help 400 refugees towards employment in Coventry and across Yorkshire, working with local partner organisations. Well, I'm sure there are some far more deserving white people in Coventry and Yorkshire that could do with that money to help them find employment. I'm sure that there are a lot more than 400 white people that could actually set up businesses with that money. And these so-called refugees, the war is over in Syria. Why aren't they going back there? Why aren't they being given money to help them go back to Syria? Why are they being encouraged to settle here and being given rewards for making their way to Britain? That's what this is about. It's about rewarding these people and keeping them here. The WJR's Specialist Training and Employment Programme tailors support towards individual situations with a package which can include English language classes, work experience, and ensuring that clients have the requisite qualifications. So they're going to be educating them so that they can take white people's jobs, giving them the qualifications that they need, because none of these Syrians have got any qualifications. Very few of them are educated beyond the age of a 10-year-old. This is why they don't have any jobs. What they should be doing is sending them back, not teaching them how to get on well in Britain, wasting money on English language classes and work experience for them. This is just the same as those Jewish groups that go to Greece to help the refugees in. They give them maps as well. As soon as they get on the Greece shoreline, they give them maps of where they should be going. There's no Jews that are helping refugees go to Israel, but there are hundreds of Jewish groups that are helping refugees come into Europe. And the European Union is helping them out. They can't get away with it in Hungary. Any groups that are trying to do this in Hungary now, they're illegal. They're against the law. Anybody that helps them is going to get a prison sentence. And that's what we should be doing in Britain. How can we allow a Jewish group to basically do away with the employment prospects for 400 white British people in Coventry? A Jewish group is doing this. And the European Union, a group that is still supposed to be representing our interests, is funneling our money into a project like this, helping Syrians. Syrians who are far more likely to be carrying out crimes than the white British people. I forget what the percentage was. It was something like 80% of these Syrian refugees have all been arrested for one crime or another, some of them involving particularly serious ones, and still we're wasting money on them. And of course, it's the Jews behind it. It always is. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. But before I go, I would like to remind people that we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going. We do have a new server with twice as much memory on it. We have the bills to pay for that. You can find our Bitcoin wallet at the bottom of every article, also in the sidebar there. And it's very easy to get Bitcoin. You can just buy some on eBay, direct the vendor to deposit it in our wallet, or you can pick some up at an exchange and send it to us. And we are very grateful for all the funds that we do receive. And I would also like to ask people, if you can't send us a donation, then please write a letter to our prisoners of war. It's just for the cost of a stamp. You can send them a letter in an envelope. If you can afford it, buy them a card, but buy them a nice card with a nice bit of British scenery on it that you can send to them so that they can put it on the wall of their cell and remember what life is like outside. And we have two links at the radioarian.com site that will take you to the addresses of our prisoners of war. And I did get a message from one of them the other day, and he said he's been absolutely overwhelmed with the kindness that's been shown to him by nationalists that he had never met before that have been writing to him. And I dare say that goes for all of them on that list. I was really pleased to hear that he was overwhelmed with kindness. That's what we want. That's what we want to hear. We want those prisoners to know that they have our support and that our thoughts are with them. So if you can't afford to send us a donation, do remember to write to the prisoners of war. Okay, thank you very much for listening. I will be back next week, next Monday, hopefully with Max Musson. And of course, I do hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
Alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArian.com.